Welcome to another edition of Telescope Man. Welcome to another edition of Telescope Man. Today we want to do a little short podcast about a very special website called astronomyforum.net. Got a little special treat for you. I've got Gus here with us this evening on the Skype line all the way from Australia, and we'll let him tell us about that in a minute. And Gus is the webmaster and owner of astronomyforum.net. And as some of you know, I'm a moderator on that site, Telescope Man is. And we've also got three other fellows on the Skype line right now, but they're going to be quiet while we're doing this. We've got Andy, we've got Declan, and we've got Gordon on the Skype line, and all three of them are also moderators on astronomyforum.net, but they're going to be quiet, and you can listen to them on another podcast, an international podcast that'll be posted up about the same time this one goes up. So, Gus, hello from Texas all the way down to Australia.
I'm from down under.
Now, you weren't originally, you're not Australian, are you?
No, I was born in Canada, in Toronto.
And what provoked you to move all the way down there to Australia?
I wanted to see the southern skies, but no, actually, yeah. No, I came here actually to study. I was a student here for 4 years, and now I'm no longer a student anymore.
And what's your field of study?
Well, I finished medicine here in Sydney Uni, but originally I started out in Canada in the University of Toronto. I did my honors bachelor's of science there first. In molecular genetics, and then I did a master's of science at SickKids Hospital, and then I did a PhD as well. So I think I got sick of all the commuting. I was traveling by transit every day. It was quite cold. The weather was quite cloudy. So I loved astronomy. So I think I wanted to see some nice weather and to see the southern skies as well. So we moved here with my wife.
And how long ago did you move?
It was about five years ago.
Okay. Now, you have a name that's similar to my last name. It's not pronounceable, sort of like mine. And would you be kind enough to say your last name for us, Gus?
It's, I guess in English, it's Sideropoulos. In Greek, it's Sideropoulos, which is... You could translate it to Iron Man or Steel Man. I guess my ancestors were blacksmiths or very strong.
So when did you first – have you always had an interest in astronomy, or is this something that came up while you were in school, or did you always like astronomy?
Well, to be honest, with my dad or my parents weren't really into astronomy. I was the oldest kid. But my dad would always buy me books like – science books and stuff, and I didn't have a telescope, unfortunately. I had my dad's binoculars, which he brought from Africa. He was working there for a while, and I just used them to see the night sky. I was interested, and they were okay. I could see quite a bit. I always wanted a telescope, but I never got one as a kid until I was able to work at the hospital there doing research, and I bought my own Dobson. And that's when I really, really got into it. But as a kid, I always would go out and see the stars by myself. Actually, nobody was really interested. I was the only one doing it. So it was quite cold some nights as well, minus 20, minus 30. So I was a bit crazy as well to do that.
Did you study any astronomy while you were in school? Or
no, unfortunately, all my degrees are in either... medicine or research. So I wish I could. I may go back to do something. Who knows? Maybe do astrophysics or something. I always had an interest in astrophysics, but For some reason, the human body was maybe a bit more interesting, or I thought at least I could get a job to work in that field.
That's a great.
Or so I was told.
Yeah, that's a great field. So keep at it. When did you start astronomyforum.net? When did it actually come online for the first time?
Well, to be honest, it actually has one of the longest histories of all the astronomy websites and all the astronomy forums. It's an incredible site with an incredible history. It actually started in about 2000, so it's actually one of the oldest sites on the internet dealing with astronomy. A user started it. Actually, his name escapes me now. I knew his name. I should have wrote it down, but he started it. It was a great forum. It was quite active. Actually, some of the users on the forum now were original users back in 2000. And what happened was, I guess the technology changed, and the webmaster at the time couldn't deal with spam issues. They were getting spammed quite a bit and ended up dropping the forum. And I was able to get the domain name and actually continue it. But I was actually a member from the forum back then, and I saw that it was going to be lost forever, and I thought it was a great resource. So I was able to continue it, add some great new software, and just basically make sure that there's no spam. And I was able to start it up, but you guys are the ones really keeping out the bad guys now.
Yeah, we still get spammed there quite often, or at least try to get spammed anyway.
Yeah,
that's still going on. I don't know if it's getting worse or better. I think Andy would probably say that it's getting worse. So now you've been up and running for over 10 years now. I mean, what kind of technical improvements have you made during the last 10 years from the beginning to now? Can you kind of take us through how the hardware has changed a little bit?
Well, under its our administration and with everybody running it, I think it's only been actually a few years. So it's actually probably the, I would say, in the world, it's the most active an upcoming forum. We get an enormous amount of registrations, up to 100 new users a day. With the amount of growth that we're getting, we're probably the fastest growing forum in the world for astronomy. And it all started out basically on some very basic hosting plans. There's only a few users at a time. At the moment, we get about over 10,000 basically pages being served, and about 1,000 people that are actively registered on the site every day. But we do get thousands of non-members signing in every day, and we serve everything from text on the pages to photos. We haven't hosted videos yet, but we do host quite a few downloads that people can download, including maps. And initially it was just on very basic hosting. We have actually moved to a clustered environment, so there's many servers that are actually hosting, actually two hosting Apache, which is the front end, and a back end database server. We've had some small issues, but seems like we worked them all out in the past week, it seems.
Yeah, it does seem to be loading better, et cetera. I've got to say, you know, personally, Telescope Man's on several forums. Different forums on the internet, and I would have to say that astronomyforum.net seems to have the greatest international presence that I've seen on the net.
Yeah, that's actually one thing that I realized on the forum is it's so friendly. When I was a beginner, it was pretty daunting going on some of the forums. It wasn't very friendly on most of the forums. And also, it seems like on most forums, there's only a small, a narrow spectrum of users from the world. But on Astronomy Forum, you see the users from all over the world.
Yeah, and that's what I noticed, too. There was people from all over the world asking questions and signing on, et cetera, et cetera. Be truthful about it, that was probably my first exposure to that many different countries all on one forum all at the same time. So that was kind of cool. Another question I have for you, Gus, is, okay, we're at this point right now with astronomyforum.net. Do you have any goals that you'd like to talk about for the future or any plans for the site that you would like to accomplish in the near future?
Well, we have quite a few goals that we set out. The top priority ones are allowing thousands of users to be online that actually can log in and post without difficulty. Now that's almost done. We have probably a few hundred slots that we can fit in people. There has been some issues with the database. Those seem in the past few days to have disappeared. So what we want to do is allow as many people to come on the site as possible and to be as fast as we can. Besides that, we just like to make it as informative and organized as possible. And we're going to restructure the forum a bit, but we have some really interesting projects in store. We're going to have a new review area, an article area where people can post articles and reviews. We do have a photo area that we're going to upgrade. It's been really popular. But also we're going to have an encyclopedia, and we do have a downloads area where people can download really impressive files, like deep sky object lists. I should actually check the project list and see all the things that we have in store. But we do have a new astrophotography contest with badges and prizes, which people can enter, and I recommend people to post their photos up. There's four categories: a lunar category, a solar category, deep sky, and a planetary category.
Yeah, which is kind of neat. You have a forum on the internet that actually gives awards, observing awards, directly to the members of the forum. So
that's right.
Something to keep in mind if you've like to take photographs, etc., that there is a place where you can get recognized for your work, and that would be astronomyforum.net. Any advice you'd like to give our audience to improve their visual observing or astrophotography? I think you're into astrophotography a little bit, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I'm quite interested in astrophotography. I guess one of the reasons is I always lived in a light polluted city, so actually I've never seen the Milky Way until quite recently. And astrophotography allows me to see things that I actually can't see with my eye, which are pretty exciting, at least to me. But I'm also interested in visual astronomy. I've just purchased some binoculars to see the stars here, but I actually didn't have binoculars for a while. I did have a Dob for a while, but I actually couldn't bring that to Australia. It's a bit too heavy and it wouldn't fit in the luggage, so I had to buy a new telescope here. But what I want to say is also on the forum, for visual observers, there is an incredible resource that we have where thousands of people are posting daily reports on what they viewed and sharing what they're viewing. And I think it's a great resource to just see what other people are viewing at the time, whether from Australia in the southern skies or in Canada or the U.S. in the northern skies.
Yeah, now we've got you down there, so you can show us some of the southern sky one of these days of objects that people in Texas and California will never see. Isn't that right?
Yeah, no, there's some. I couldn't believe this. Some of the things that are down here. I miss, obviously, some of the constellations and objects that are up in the northern hemisphere. I can live with that for a while. There's some incredible sights to see down here.
Yes, and everybody that I know that has been down there specifically to view says you have many more objects available, or at least that's what they say, than we do here in the northern hemisphere. There's many more objects, bright objects to view. For instance, the small and large Magellanic clouds, which we can't see here
Yeah, that's true. I'm facing a side that actually doesn't have too many objects that are that bright. But on the other side, which I can see a bit of them, at least from where I'm located, there are just a huge bunch of them, and they're just incredible. They're quite easy actually even to photograph, and I try to take advantage of that because I'm still in the city, but viewing them is just amazing. I was able to go in the outback, I guess, and see the Milky Way, and it was just you just couldn't count in the number of stars, and the large and small Magellanic clouds actually do look like real clouds. That's how bright they are.
Yes, I know. I've seen them from Tonga.
Oh, wow.
I've seen them from Tonga and Samoa and Guam, so I know what you're talking about. It's kind of incredible sky down there. Any final thoughts you'd like to give to our listeners about the site?
I have a few. Actually, a lot of people come on and they do browse. I recommend those people to actually register and join. It doesn't take – it's extremely quick. And it's – our forum is I would say, the friendliest forum on the internet. A lot of people said, you know, we wish my car forum or my my hobby forum was as friendly as this one. And I recommend people to join. There's a – everybody seems to make friends, you know, locally and internationally. It's a great resource. There's tons of information for beginners. I think we're one of the best beginner forums on the internet for astronomy. I would say the best. There's so much information for beginners on there. I don't think there's that type of information anywhere else. And if you're a new user or not, everybody's treated the same. So. And many people know that when some people start out, the budget's actually quite small for people, and we still can recommend telescopes and eyepieces for those people, regardless. Everybody can't start with a several thousand dollar setup. I started with binoculars, and I'm sure most people will be quite pleased to actually get in the hobby with something in the budget range. And there's people on the forum that can recommend something in that range that will actually be quite useful to them.
Yeah, that's probably one of the greatest benefits of the forum, is that we have a lot of members that realize that beginners to the hobby are not going to go out and spend $3,000 on a telescope. So, and they'll recommend something for, you know, $100 or $200. Or even binoculars to start with, and they don't make the people feel like that they're worthless because they don't have a $3,000 rig like a seasoned amateur astronomer would have.
I think there's some steps that all beginners have to do, or at least so some people can afford, and I find that if I didn't have those binoculars when I started out, I probably wouldn't have gotten into the hobby because... at the time, we couldn't afford a telescope, so I think it's important not to recommend telescopes in the range which most people can't afford, because we'd lose those people. And astronomy outreach is, which I know you guys, Joe, and a lot of the moderators do, is incredibly important, because we'd lose people that have obviously can't afford gear that we love to use, and it's not possible for everybody. But what I'd like to recommend is we have a certificate program, a visual program, which you can also, whether with binoculars or even maybe even your naked eye, if you're in a good location, to have a list of objects. I think our smallest list is 30. We started out with 30 Messier objects, which you can get a beautiful badge and a certificate for viewing those objects. So I recommend people join, and it's in the Astronomy Reports forum, where you can get a certificate and a special badge.
Gus, I'd like to thank you for taking time to visit with Telescope Man today, and I'd welcome everyone who's listening to the podcast to jump on over to astronomyforum.net, astronomyforum.net. Go ahead and register. It's free. and jump in and introduce yourself so we all know who you are, and we'll greet you in the introduction forum, and then you can post all your questions that you might have about the hobby. So with that said, thank you, Gus. And as usual, I always wish you clear skies. And remember to keep looking up to see the greatest show on earth right over your head every single night.
Thank you, Joe. I'd like to also thank all the moderators and everybody on the forum that makes it possible, because the community would not be possible without everybody's support. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Gus. And until next time, see y'all later.